How do you turn to Matthew chapter 12? Just a little bit more kind of regarding the Trinity here and just understanding, though, that there is differences, because we're going to continue to go through some passages about Jesus Christ specifically. And you see, especially through the Gospels, the relationship between the Son and the Father. And there's no denying that relationship. And there is a difference between God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. There's differences, right? But it's still one God. And we don't want to get overboard on either direction, right? Because you can get too overboard on the oneness side of things to where all of a sudden now there is no distinction at all between the Father, the Son. Well, it's all just one, and there could be 100 or there could be 1,000 or whatever. That's not true. There can't just be 100 or 1,000 or whatever, because God just could be manifest in however many ways he chooses. Because God is three persons in one. That's it. There's no choice in the matter. There's no God deciding to be different than who he is already. And at the other end of the spectrum, you know, you can't just say, oh, well, there's all these differences between Jesus and Father, and he's praying to the Father and everything else, that he must not be God then. That's false also. And just to demonstrate some of that difference here, that this whole oneness idea is completely debunked, just even in one passage, one reference in Matthew 12, look at verse number 31, the Bible says, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Now, if Jesus and the Holy Ghost and the Father were just literally just all one, where there's no distinction between them, essentially, then how could you make this type of distinction saying, and look at verse 32, and whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, referring to Jesus, it shall be forgiven him. So if someone speaks against Jesus Christ, that's a forgivable sin. It's still a sin, but that's a forgivable sin. It says, but whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. That can't be possible unless you have a very serious distinction between the Son of Man and the Holy Spirit and the Father, for that matter. Amen. So they can't just all be interchangeable with one another. Just impossible. Impossible. Otherwise, this would not make sense at all. Without even going into, well, what is the sin against? It doesn't matter. We're just identifying that there's a clear distinction here between the three. Jump down to verse number 40. There's another interesting concept, and I'm not going to delve too deep into this, but a lot of people will try to make the only distinction about Jesus Christ being God is just the fact that he was in the flesh. Like, that's the only distinction, right? Well, and think about this. If the Son of Man, the reason why we call him the Son of Man is because he was literally born of the Virgin Mary, and the Son of God because God is his Father. I preach a sermon on the eternal sonship of Jesus Christ, that he's always been a son. And I want to show you a couple references here that Jesus Christ still being referred to as the Son of Man talks about him still being the Son of Man even when he's not in the flesh. Okay, so, and it's, you say, well, what's the big deal about that? Well, if you're going to say the only thing that makes him different, the only distinction is that he was in the flesh as opposed to, you know, being in the Spirit, you'd have to say, you wouldn't be able to do it this way. Here, and look at verse number 4. Look at what it says here. Be a little bit more clear when we look at the scripture. The Bible says, for as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Now we know that when Jesus Christ was in the heart of the earth, it's when his soul went to hell, right? His body was buried in a tomb. His flesh did not descend into hell. It was in that tomb for those 3 days and three nights that he was dead, yet he's still referred to as the Son of Man being in the heart of the earth. So not his quote-unquote flesh part being there, but it's still, why is he being called the Son of Man if it's just his soul being there, right? It's because he embodies being the Son of Man and the Son of God simultaneously, regardless of if he's cloaked in his flesh. Does that make sense? Hopefully. And even in In Matthew 19, verse 28, there's a reference to the millennium where he's also being referred to as the Son of Man. So after he's resurrected, after he's put on his glorified body, right, still being referred to as the Son of Man, Matthew 19, verse 28, and Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So, again, referring to himself as the Son of Man in the future.